All right, so we're diving into your realms, and let me tell you, this is some seriously cool stuff. It's like opening up a treasure chest, chock full of maps and legends and rumors. You know, you've got everything here. Character lists, locations, factions, even a whole page for the dearly departed. Gotta love a good deceased section in a wiki. Now, I know how easy it is to get lost in a good wiki hole. Believe me, I've been there, the little berry. But today, we're going to do something special with all this amazing lore you've created. We're going to spin it into a story. Well, maybe not a story exactly, but we're going to make some connections, follow some threads, maybe even make some predictions about where your realms is headed. And to help us do that, I've got our expert here ready to dig in and get their hands dirty. So you've got your classic fantasy races, dwarves, gnomes, kobolds, but you put your own unique spin on us. Let's start with the dwarves, shall we?
Right off the bat, I'm intrigued by how you've subverted the traditional dwarven archetype. You've got your standard dwarves, sure, but then you've got the dvergr, these guys who can turn into stone.
Talk about a solid defense mechanism, right?
Exactly. But it's more than just a cool ability. It hints at a much deeper connection to the earth, maybe even a kind of magic we don't usually see with dwarves.
This isn't your grandma's fantasy world, is it? Speaking of surprises, I gotta ask about the porks. Their procreation method. The porcy ooze water. That's certainly something else.
Yeah, it definitely caught my eye, too. It's one of those details that makes you really stop and think, okay, what's going on here?
What kind of cultural impact does something like that have, you know?
Exactly. It's not just about the unusual biology. Mm. It tells us so much about the porks as a society.
It makes you wonder about those regular pigs, too.
Right. Are they considered sacred? Or just, you know, another Tuesday in the year realms?
And then there's the recurring theme of stores involvement. Accidental creation via divine indigestion. It's a bold move.
It speaks to a world where magic is powerful, yeah, but also kind of unpredictable, a little bit chaotic.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
A world forged in chaos.
Oh.
But then we get to the gnomes master engineers, replacing a race called the Beenu. Their origins are a little more mysterious.
A lot more mysterious. There's no Thor, no cosmic burp. It's like they just appeared one day.
And took over the whole technology gig. It makes you wonder what happened to those Beenu, doesn't it?
Definitely a story there. Maybe one for another time.
Okay, so we've talked about magical mishaps creating races, but they also seem to be a driving force behind some of the conflicts in your U-realms. And speaking of conflicts, you've given us some pretty interesting factions to unpack. Tell me more.
Yeah, you've highlighted some major players here. The Sunsword family, who seem to be all about keeping the peace. They're tasked with guarding this powerful being, Dalfingen. Then there's the Grand Paladin Order, the Cult of Bones, always a good sign, and the Senate of Deadlantis, which is exactly what it sounds like. A city ruled by the deceased.
Sounds lively.
Right. Each faction has its own internal tensions, its own motivations. It makes for a very interesting web of potential conflict.
So let's talk about this Dalfgane character. What makes him so powerful that he needs the sun swords to keep an eye on him? And what are those sun keys they use to control him?
Well, according to your notes, Dalfgen is a two-headed ogre with some serious magical abilities. We're not talking about your average ogre here.
Uh-huh.
As for the sun keys, it seems there are 8 of them, each held by a different member of the sun sword family.
Okay, so not just your average family heirlooms then.
Not at all. They sound more like a means of containing Dalfgen's power, maybe even channeling it.
Interesting. And then you've got the Senate of Deadlantis. I mean, talk about internal struggles, right? You've got the Skullbreakers who want, well, extinction, basically. And then you've got the Bone Guard who are all about maintaining the status quo.
It's a recipe for disaster, really. And then you toss in the Ironstone Accords, the uneasy truce between the elves and the dwarves.
It sounds more like a temporary ceasefire to me.
Right. You've hinted at a long and complicated history between them, which makes this whole peace treaty feel a little fragile.
It's like beneath the surface of these powerful factions, there's this current of unrest just waiting to explode.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the individuals caught in the middle of it all. And you have given us a cast of characters, my friend, each one more intriguing than the last.
You've really populated this world with some fascinating folks. And it's often the individual stories, you know, that really bring the bigger picture into focus.
Oh, absolutely.
Like take Felipe, for example.
The kobold.
Yeah. The one who met, shall we say, an untimely end thanks to Gwyneth's Sunsword.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And his story just seems so connected to everything else we've been talking about. The Sunswords, the power struggles, all of it. It really drives home the point that even characters who seem small, insignificant even, they can still get caught up in these big world-altering events.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And Philippe, he's got ties to Yumi's band of thieves. He runs into Fenwis, that whole mess. And then, of course, there's Gwyneth finishing the job. But these aren't just isolated incidents, you know?
Right, right.
They're all threads in this giant interconnected tapestry.
I like that butterfly effect thing. One character does something, anything, and the ripples just spread out and impact the entire world.
Exactly. And then you've got someone like Omalie, for instance. He goes from student to, well, ruthless leader of the Unseen Rogues. And it sounds like his whole arc is tied to this Romulus character and some kind of revenge plots, these echoes of the past, these little threads of history that they just add so much depth.
Speaking of echoes and mysteries and all that good stuff, can we talk about Tambuck's special friend show? Because I gotta say, that title alone is just intriguing.
It's definitely a head-scratcher.
It is. You've got these Tambuck tickets, which are apparently super rare, super fragile. And they grant access to a show that, and I'm just reading from the wiki here, transcends even death itself.
Ambitious.
Right. And we know the guest list includes, well, everyone. The living, the dead.
It does make you wonder what kind of criteria Tambuck is using to make his selections. Power, a tragic backstory.
Maybe a killer singing voice. We've got to have standards.
The wiki does mention a grand reveal, something about 20 characters being chosen. Whatever Tambuck is planning, it sounds pretty huge, maybe even universe altering.
No pressure, Tambuck, no pressure.
Yeah.
But while we're on the subject of mysteries, we can't forget about the Binu. The gnomes kind of inherited their whole thing, right? What happened to them?
Well, the wiki mentioned something called Dragon Silver, which was apparently created by this powerful being, Golstant.
All right, I've got that here somewhere.
And it sounds like this Dragon Silver had some pretty amazing properties. Healing, reversing aging, the works.
Yeah, it was a big deal for the Binu. Reliant, even until.
They weren't.
Right. And this is where things get really interesting. Your notes suggest that someone, possibly this Lynn Osvaltara character, poisoned their Dragon Silver supply.
Yeah. Just like that.
It's a powerful reminder that even in a world of magic and wonder, there's always the potential for darkness, for corruption. And sometimes it only takes one person to really shake things up.
So we're talking about a whole race wiped out.
Yeah.
Possibly by a single individual, talk about a power move. But this whole idea of extinction, it leads us to another part of your world that I found both fascinating and, well, a little bit sad. The deceased page.
Ah, yes. The dearly departed. But it's more than just a list of names, isn't it? It's like each entry is a story. A life cut short, crushed by boulders, incinerated by dragon fire. It's brutal.
It's a reminder that actions have consequences.
Yeah. And it looks like a lot of these deaths, they're not random. These characters, they were involved in the events we've been talking about. It just goes to show even heroes aren't safe in the Year Realms.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? How do these deaths, these echoes of the past, how do they shape the present? And how will they continue to influence the future?
That's a question for the ages. Speaking of time, there's one more thing I wanted to ask you about. And it's something that, well, it trips up a lot of world builders.
Go on.
The timeline.
Ah, yes. Keeping track of who did what when, it can be tricky.
To say the least. And you mentioned some, shall we say, inconsistencies.
Right. Some events that seem a little out of order.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe a little time travel is involved. Who knows? But yeah, I see your point. It's like those little wrinkles in time are often the most fun to explore.
Especially in a world that's already got like Thor and magic and who knows what else going on. It makes you wonder what time even means in the Year Realms, right?
Right. It's probably all relative anyway. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to say it. You've created a world here that's as complex and fascinating and downright messy as our own.
And that's a good thing.
Oh,
it's those mysteries, those loose ends. That's where the real magic of world building happens.
It's like we've got all these puzzle pieces scattered out, but we don't necessarily have to fit them all together perfectly, right?
Exactly. And some of the best stories come from those missing pieces, those gaps in our knowledge.
So what you're saying is I shouldn't stress too much about the fact that my timeline is a little wibbly-wobbly.
Wibbly-wobbly. I like that. But seriously, it sounds like you've got a solid foundation here. We've got compelling characters, potential conflicts, mysterious events. Now it's all about digging deeper into those whys.
The whys make all the difference. Like the Sun Swords versus the Cult of Bones. On the surface, it's your classic good versus evil, right?
Yeah.
Order versus chaos. But what if it's not that simple?
Right. What if the Sun Swords, with all their power and responsibility, what if they're not as heroic as they seem? Or the Cult of Boans, maybe they're not trying to destroy the world. Maybe they just want to reshape it.
Ooh, I like that. It's those shades of gray, the moral ambiguity, that really make a world come alive. Okay, I have to ask about this because I keep coming back to it in my notes. The pot puppies, the sky gypsies. I mean, come on.
What can I say? You've got away with names.
But are those just fun little details, or do they actually mean something? Should I be paying attention to this?
That's the beauty of it, isn't it? You get to decide. Those little details, those seemingly insignificant things, they can be seeds for future stories.
Or just fun Easter eggs for your readers to discover.
Exactly. Maybe the pot puppies are just a quirky part of your realm's life. Or maybe they're the key to everything.
Don't tell me. I like the suspense.
My lips are sealed.
See, and that's what I keep coming back to. The U Realms is full of possibilities.
That's what makes it so exciting.
But if I could just pick your brain about one last thing. We've talked about this Tambach character, this special friend show of his.
Yeah.
It's clearly a big deal. But what happens when that guest list is full?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's like Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
You've introduced this element, this potentially world-shattering event. Something's got to give.
Right.
But whether it leads to the U-Realm's salvation or its destruction or something else entirely.
Or something weirder.
Exactly. That's entirely up to you.
See, this is why I love talking to you. So many possibilities. But I think we've given our listeners and myself plenty to think about.
I would agree.
You've got this incredible world, this amazing cast of characters. Don't be afraid to get in there and experiment, explore those contradictions, and really push the boundaries of what's possible. It's your world, after all.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
This has been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for, you know, humoring me in all my crazy U-Realms questions.
Time. This is fun.
And for all of you listening out there, remember, this isn't the end. It's just the beginning. So get out there, explore the U-Realms, and most importantly, have fun.